Is it a financial fix?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's been months in the making, and later today, President Obama will outline his plans for fixing the financial system. He's set to unveil a sweeping restructuring of the U.S. system of financial and bank regulation. Marketplace's Steve Henn joins us live from Washington to fill us in. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
So let's lay out some of the big stuff in the president's proposal.
Well, one of the biggest ideas is that all financial institutions will need to reduce their leverage and have more capital on hand. If you want to make an analogy to a household budget, this is kind of like asking banks to put 20% down on their new house instead of 5%. And the idea here is if things get ugly in the future, banks will be in better shape to weather the storm. The rules will also tighten regulation on derivatives markets and make those markets more transparent and require firms that create, you know, bundles of mortgage-backed securities to actually invest some of their own cash in what they're creating. So they're less likely to create toxic investments and junk.
All right. All of that aside, Steve, how's this plan going to affect you and me?
Well, one thing it would do is create a new consumer protection agency that would be in charge of ensuring fairness and transparency in consumer financial markets. Products like mortgages and credit cards would be reviewed by this agency. And the idea here is that when people got a mortgage, it would be something they could actually afford and understand.
What kind of timeline are we talking about to move these ideas forward?
Well, a senior administration official said last night that they wanted to get this done now. Basically, he said the country can't afford to wait. So soon after the president unveils these plans today, they're going to be taking legislation to the Hill. And while they don't know yet how much these plans will cost, they say the costs of inaction are, you know, painfully obvious to everyone.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Washington. Steve, thanks.
Sure thing.
Stocks were on the losing end again here at home yesterday. The S&P 500 dropped 1.25%. Same for the Dow, falling more than 100 points to close at 8504. The Nasdaq shed more than 1%. Over in Europe, shares are lower across the board. Asian markets closed mostly lower as well. So the Lakers brought home yet another title to Los Angeles. You know what else they brought home? Quite the quandary. How to celebrate a great bunch of players and a huge win when the city's fortunes don't exactly match that of the basketball team. It's been a bit of a financial shell game, as Rico Galliano reports.
When the LA Lakers won the NBA championship on Sunday, Angelenos were ecstatic. But when locals learned the city planned to foot half of the nearly $2 million bill for today's victory parade, that didn't go down so well. Matt Jabo is press secretary for LA Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
In years past, the city would have paid for it, but these are unprecedented financial times. We're facing massive deficits, layoffs, etc.
Unions were especially irritated LA might blow cash on a parade while city workers are taking pay cuts. So for the last few days, City Hall tried to figure out how to hold the parade without having to pony up for it. Yesterday, LA announced a group of private donors will pick up the tab.
The private funds will go towards the approximately $900,000 in city resources, police, fire, and the street services.
By the way, on Monday, Pittsburgh threw a parade for its new champions, the Penguins hockey team. Public funds paid for the whole shebang. Now, back in November, some Pittsburghers protested the expense of a similar celebration for their Super Bowl-winning Steelers. But not this time. Apparently, you get used to it. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
The Lakers brought home the NBA gold to Southern California, and soon vending machines in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria will dispense the gold to you. Today's Financial Times says a German asset management company plans on setting up 500 gold-to-go ATMs this year. They'll be set up in places such as airports, railway stations, and malls. There's been a lot of interest in gold after the financial crisis made people a bit nervous about investing in more traditional assets.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by ConAgra Foods, the people behind brands like Banquet, Hebrew National, and Peter Pan. More at conagrafoods.com. And by Superbrands, Brandweek's annual ranking of America's top 2,000 brands. You can Google Brandweek Superbrands for more information.
Agriculture may seem relatively recession-proof, relatively. After all, people have to eat. But economic trends have been reshaping the ag industry, and many farm laborers are getting squeezed out. In the Deep South, low-income workers are at risk of sliding farther into poverty. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
For generations, African Americans in the South eked out a living by picking cotton. It was back-breaking work for very little money, and it became a common theme in blues songs.
Oh, when them cotton bolls get rotten, you couldn't pick very much cotton in them old cotton fields at home.
Work has gotten easier on those old cotton fields, but there's less of it. Farmers are planting about half as much cotton as they did in 2006, according to the Department of Agriculture. That's bad news for Chris Moore, who lives in the poor rural town of Chula, Mississippi. The 25-year-old used to work full-time at a cotton gin.
Right about now, we'll be out there working, but now we laid off.
Moore's hours have been cut to 2 days a week. He can barely pay his bills. In surrounding Holmes County, the unemployment rate is 17%. Farmers are hiring fewer workers as they shift to less labor-intensive crops, like corn. And machines are doing much of the work that's left. Calvin Head runs the nonprofit West Holmes Community Development Corporation.
You got automation that's taking place. All the equipment doesn't require a lot of field time like it used to. It's just put a burden on the low-income worker.
The low-income farm workers who still have jobs are essentially trapped.
It just ain't no job right here. So you have to kind of stick with what you got, whether you like it or not.
That's Danny Randall. He's been doing farm work since he was 14. He's 67 now and still puts in long days driving a tractor. But he doesn't earn extra money, even if he works extra hours.
They say you're supposed to work 8 hours. You work 10, you're going to get just regular pay. You know, you don't get no overtime.
Locals used to be able to find a job that pays overtime if they were willing to drive more than 50 miles to work at one of the auto manufacturing plants. But now, due to the economy, those firms have been laying off employees, leaving folks here even more economically isolated. In Chula, Mississippi, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.